for questions. I know you want to make comments, you want to ask questions, but please make it brief because we don't want to be here past 5. I can see a hand there, behind there. I can see 3 hands there. No, we can't hear you. Just put on the mic, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm called Philip Lang, student of Jibe University. I have a question to Honorable or share fashion of peace and reconciliation here. The question is always in conflict is to be resolved using two mechanisms, which is sharing the power and also the sharing of the resources on the ground. The main issue is in Jonglei State and some part of South Sudan is a problem of delivering of services. So here, I want to know from you, because there are some funds that have been approved by National Assembly for peace and reconciliation. If the resources are for delivering of the services, or they are just only for conferences.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Ferdinand von Habsburg. I'm a concerned parent. I'm married to a South Sudanese. Yes, I'm married to a South Sudanese, that's correct. And what I'd like to say is I really wonder why all the emphasis has to be on government. I find this a most extraordinary concept that we think that government will solely solve problems in South Sudan. So the problems are actually homegrown. In our own houses, we spoon-feed the perceptions and the imbalances. And I say this because I hear this in conversations every day. Ana basma Arabic tamam. Akdar min nas katir. So don't think ma andana adan. So I'd like to say that if we think that government is going to do it, well, I think we are sorely mistaken. The change begins right here with me as a father, or with you as a mother, or with you as a brother or a sister. Why are we waiting for government? It comes from our own mouths. If we believe that we are the same, we tell our children so. If we believe that we all have the same rights, we tell our children so. We don't wait for the Constitution. The Constitution will come. We have our rights and we know what they are. They don't have to come to us from paper, anything else. The time has come for people to say enough is enough. When we talk about each other, why can we not respect each other?
What is
holding us back?
Thank you very much. Thank you. There are lots of hands here. I want to be very fair. We have a gentleman in front here. We will come to you. Let's just be fair to this other side. We have a gentleman in front here. Can you just switch the microphone on, please?
Okay, it's coming on. My name is Isaiah Dow. I am the presiding bishop of the Sudan Pentecostal Church. And maybe if there is another pastor here, we are not invited, but we came anyway.
Thank you for coming. We did not forget you, but the fact that you are here, there must have been an extension of your invitation.
I just stumbled into it, but I'm thankful anyway. I will have a comment, and maybe in the comment there will be a question. You know, if we were united because we have a common enemy, and therefore we didn't kill one another, I do want to say that we have more enemies than the North now. And some of those enemies, tribalism, ignorance, laziness, all of those are enemies that are everywhere. You know, when the war was going on, the Jalaba were not everywhere. But I can tell you, ignorance is everywhere. When the war was going on, Jalaba were not everywhere, but sickness can be everywhere. And the same with tribalism. So let us change our focus. If we need an enemy to be united, we have many of them. So please prepare yourself to be united and fight these enemies. Because they are there. Now, the other thing is, and particularly this is for the media, please, when you cover South Sudan, do not only cover the negative. You don't come to the churches to come and hear messages of peace that we preach every Sunday. A friend of mine, who is a pastor, he one time there was a shooting in somewhere in Gudelan. And by the way, shooting and all of that in Juba is a concern. Nobody should deny that. But there was a shooting in one of the areas, and it was in the media. And when he Googled shootings in Los Angeles, he found not one, but 150 the same night. 150. And yet there was one in Juba. I'm not saying that it is not serious, but I want you also not to cover the negative. There are also positive things that are happening. There are neighbors who are talking to one another. There are people who are saying tribalism is not an enemy, no matter who perpetrate tribalism. There are people who are saying that we are proud to be South Sudanese. We have problems, yes, but we love this nation and want to make sure that this nation...
Thank you, Abuna.
Yes.
In the interest of time...
I knew you were going to cut me because...
Not really that.
Because I have not even finished, but I will leave it. I will pray for you to give us more time. God bless you.
Let's move here. Let's move. Shelton, let's move here and then we go back. Let's try to be brief, my brother.
Thanks, yes. I wanted to be very, very brief, but it is also very important to say these points. Yes, my name is Ephraim Wanipita. I'm working in the Ministry of Parliamentary Affairs. I'm really moved with this very rare gathering. One of the most big problems that we intellectuals as people of Juba, there is no gathering. And gathering always ooze out things like, what would you say? When you ooze all your things, all those as intellectuals, people begin to notice. And I thank VOA for having availed this forum so that we can really reveal our things. Allow me to go back to when we signed agreement 72, Abel took over. Abel was not in the bush. Lago was in the bush. But for the sake of peace, Lago surrendered the leadership of the government to Abel Alier. For reason known for one thing, let me unite the bush team with the internal team. He was not coward, but he wanted to unite the Southern Sudanese. And Lago gave that power and he took over the militarism. What Abel did was is to start straight, put all his people together, and he built the ministries that we are seeing. The worst we did in our government was to call ourselves that we are starting from scratch. When this building was moving, the whole world know who we are. Now we, the very people, say that we are starting from scratch. Why are we using words which are not correct? Let me tell you the truth. When government of Abel started, he did not invite the whole world to come and support us. He started fresh, and the very boys that were in the whole universities, he called them, and then injected their brain, and then they built the country that you are seeing, the Southern Sudan. But with the current agreement, we invite all the UN team, and they only indulge on one thing, workshops. They have nothing. They've only know one thing, workshops. The whole world, whenever you flew here, you're only in Juba for 3 days, you are in Wau for 3 days, then the bill come, and then you clear. The beneficiary is only the Eritrean and then the Habash, the fanatic, the team. The only help they have helped, they renovate Juba Hospital. Where do we meet as brothers and sisters? We don't meet. Because the government is, there is a republic of NGO in Southern Sudan, and there is another republic. The republic of NGO is dueling their NGO with their things. And the republic of the Southern Sudan with their government. The ministries of the Southern Sudan has budget, the cabinet of NGO has their cabinet. And a very big budget is with the NGO cabinet.
In the interest of time.
There's one point I want to say.
In the interest of time.
Just one word. For one thing that we want to unite, let us agree to give our own brothers to sit alone. Now in Juba, you will the number of Juba, the census of Juba, is half the census of non-citizens. Now for you to go for 1 inch, you will say a foreigner. Now for us to unite, they don't want us to unite because we will chase them away. So we are kept, will be kept not uniting till the doom, because they don't want us. When the moment Southerners unite, we will take the the management of the hotel. We will take the management of everything. So they don't want things.
In the interest of time, thank you very much.
I also want to invite you also to have another forum so that at the time we will benefit, because sure, this is very short.
Sure. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Achuil, just give the mic to Achuil, and then we move this gentleman here. My brother, I want us to be brief so that we are so that we can cover a lot of issues. I appreciate the fact that we all have this.
But if we are talking for South Sudan, we have to talk till tomorrow even.
Yeah, but we cannot talk until tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Just be brief.
Okay. My name's Fred Makwe from South Sudan Peace and Development Organization. I just want to comment because Madam Hilda Jensen was talking of they're increasing more peacekeeping in Jonglei, because we are talking about peace here. You know, I would give a scenario of Jonglei last year.
Yeah, if you put the mic very close to your mouth, it will click. So put it a bit far.
It has a problem.
Yeah.
Last year, we had in the media, the UN was trying to observe the movement of the Luo Nuer towards the Luo Nuer to Murle. But the issue is, when we saw the videos and we sent a team there, when they were shooting people, UN were just next like this. And I wonder what protection they're talking about. Because if they can shoot someone next to you and you're seeing, that is not protection, unless there is another thing else. Because we are talking about protecting human beings, and they are talking about human rights. Is it a kind of business in the system of human rights where they shoot someone, then you come and take and say, in Jonglei someone was shot, yet you're seeing nothing, not a report? That is one.
I would like us to restrict it to one question, one comment, please.
That's a comment to UN, being peacekeepers. To my chairperson of peace, is that, you know, there is one thing we should separate as South Sudanese, of licensing ourselves in a political way, unless we address the real truth of South Sudan. Because if we are talking about reconciliation, you should know what exactly is causing conflict between Luo Nuer and Murle. But you don't bring a commissioner of Luo Nuer and you bring a minister from Jonglei, and then you say you bring peace. You go to the ground and address exactly what exactly is there, other than dialogues. Because this thing will not work unless we talk the truth.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let's take one more comment and then we can move ahead. Time is not my friend today.
Okay. My name is Achuil Malit Bangol. I don't need to talk a lot about how many heads I have. But in this meeting, it seems we have mentioned correctly that we fought against the Arabs. And today, we want to continue to fight. Are we born to fight? Fight corruption, fight tribalism. Why can't we just stop tribalism, stop corruption, and change our heart and do something good? Then are we born to fight? They fight. Let us stop fighting. Let us change our heart and do something good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for the comments. I think we will continue to give you opportunities to ask questions, but we are going to move ahead. I will be a dictator this evening because time is not on our side. But as we were discussing here, some of our panelists mentioned something about constitution. And I've been in Juba for a week. What I've heard from a lot of non-South Sudanese is that the government must honor its part of the deal on the constitution. If it's about protecting its people, it has to do it. If it's about freedom of speech, it has to honor their part of the deal. Now, the new constitution is in the process. There is a committee that is working on it. And it's going to guide us towards our journey to creating a nation. And so the question that begs an answer here, that I'm going to throw to our panelists, is how is the process of this constitution going on? I don't want to ask the question that will it solve our problems, but how is the process going on? Is it inclusive or it's another sign of disagreement? And I will start with Madam Hilda Johnson to give a perspective of how you see things moving in regards to this constitution process.
It's very clear that the constitutional review process is yours. It is yours. It has nothing to do with us internationals except that we can support it from behind. But it is yours, and you have to drive it, and you have to decide it. And any other notion that we are interfering or doing anything is not correct. We will support what you decide to do. When we saw the constitutional review process be quite delayed, it took a long time to get it started. It's taken a long time to get it going. And it's really not worked substantively on a number of constitutional issues. So now the Parliament took these matters into their own hands and chose to extend the National Constitutional Review Commission's mandate until the end of December 2014. The only concern we have had internationally, and it's from the UN side as well, is that we wanted to make sure that we could see the whole nation participate, that this is a constitutional review process that is used to build your nation, as I was mentioning, so that people in the counties and people in the states can participate. And in the way we've seen in Kenya, in other countries that you know, in South Africa too. So we are willing to support that process to make sure that all the different walks of life in South Sudan can participate and be part of a discussion and decision on what makes you South Sudanese and what should be the principles and values that is the basis for your country. So I would like to say that as a coordinator, which we are, of the whole effort in support of the constitutional review process, the international community has lined up a number of offers to the Commission in a number of areas, including public outreach, including citizens' education, including information sharing, logistics, everything, materials, and it's all ready to support it. But you have to take it forward. It has to be yours. And you have to decide how you want the process to go. So that's my... Can I just capture a couple of other points that were coming from the floor?
Briefly. Make it quick.
Yeah. On workshops, I couldn't agree with my friend on the front row here more. We have, therefore, this is the former mission, which was a monitoring mission, not a state-building support mission. This UNMISS double S for South Sudan is devoted to support to build the capacity of the state and the nation. We are not doing three-day workshops. For the police, we are actually doing four-month training courses at all levels. And we are working with every government authority in how they want the training and the education to happen. It is changing on all fronts. So just to reassure you, we agree. And we would like to do what is really the priority of the government in terms of building the capacity of its institutions. Then the question about the peacekeeping forces in Jonglei. Very quickly, because we're now in a situation where we can end up there again. So I think it's very critical to say one important thing. The primary responsible entity for protection of civilians in South Sudan is the SPLA. It is your armed forces. No international forces can ever replace or can ever come ahead of that. It is your armed forces that need to protect civilians. And that is the basis. It's in the Security Council mandate. It's your responsibility. It's your nation, and it's your protection mandate. However, when the government is not in a position to do so, we come in and support. But we need to do it within our capabilities. That means that with 4,900 infantry soldiers, that's all we have in the country of South Sudan, 4,900. The SPLA is 200,000 or something. You understand, we cannot be everywhere and protect. However, in that incident in end December 2011, this is one example where we actually did act. We give early warning to the SPLA. We constantly pushed for them to deploy more forces. The forces in Pibor town shot, and we had our APCs ready to shoot. But the column from the Lawanuers turned around and left. The side columns went down to Fertate. 612 people were killed, but thousands of lives were saved. And we have reports and evidence to show that. The incidents that somebody was shot next to a peacekeeper, I've heard many times. It's a story that's going around, and it is not true.
I've checked everywhere.
It is not true. Don't believe every story people are telling you, and don't believe the stories that are going around now that we are biased, we're not supporting some communities, and we're only supporting one. It is not true. If we did, we would get a big flacking from the Security Council.
Thank you very much. It is not true. Thank you for your comments. Now, let's move with the discussion on the new constitution. Let me give the mic to Honorable Jehan Deng to give us a perspective on the new constitution. Is this a document that's going to bring peace to Yongle?
Actually, what would bring peace is not the document. It's the fact that all of us as a population to own the process, to take responsibility that as we stood through referendum, now we have to stand and make sure that the process of the new constitution review is taking place. I know there are some efforts to educate our people, and as we know, the nation has a high level of illiteracy, so then education plays a big role. For me, I know the constitution. I know how to read it. It's my responsibility to educate my neighbor or the next person or the next groups or the communities that are there. We need to share with one another. I need to make remarks on one thing, the media perspective. The media concept is actually to reflect on where the wrong is happening. Now, for you, if you want to reflect on the good things that are happening, you call them. Media goes to look for the bad news, but for us, we call the media to where we are doing the good news. We have to call them and tell them, you know, we have this thing going on here. Can you come and show it to our population? This is one concept. The other concept also of how do we participate, again, is the issues of laziness and how do we transit from humanitarian affairs to development affairs or to development and construction of our nation. This is very important. It's going to take you and me. If I am a government representative and I'm working in policy making, you as a citizen, you have a responsibility. And if you don't identify it, simply as just fulfilling your work ethics, coming from 8 to 5 as it is, being able to sign your paper and you know what you are signing for. These are the simple things that can help us move on. So can we all try to own the process of our nationhood, of developing our nation? Can we all identify the documents that we are reading? Can we all know? And I heard a story, I don't know how true it is, but it was said in the past that if you want to hide information from a black person, write it. Because he will not read it. And I personally witness sometimes I have a piece of information or an invitation per se, and I'll give it to my brother here. This is an invitation. And instead of opening it and reading through it, my brother will say, what is it for? Can you tell me what is it all about? So the message is this, can we all make efforts to read? Can we all make efforts to sit in these types of forums and discuss and learn? And by the way, I don't have to have the same opinion. I don't have to agree on his opinion, but I can say my opinion and be proud of it. And that doesn't mean it's conflict if mine is different from my brother's or my sister's. So that is what makes a nation, and that's what makes us very diverse. And that comes alongside ethnicity or tribalism, or I mean being from different tribes. My tribes versus his tribes do things differently, but by the end of the day we can still intermarriage, isn't it?
Thank you very much. Dr. Alfred, I think you need to tell us if you agree with what your colleagues on the panel are saying regarding the new constitution.
First of all, as citizens, we really need to be informed about what's going on. To say the present structure is like everything else in government, you have to go digging as if you are digging for worms to go and fish to get information. We need information coming out constantly. We need forums and avenues where we can keep putting in our ideas. Having said that, I would like to say this. We in South Sudan now, if we are going to use this constitution as the defining consensus among us that say who we are, not just today, in the next decade, in the next century, let's stop thinking about it as Salva Kiir's constitution. Let's stop thinking about it as the SPLM's constitution. We are in the process of constructing the constitution of the Republic of South Sudan for the South Sudanese people, wherever they are, the law that governs them for time to come. And of course, if we want to have coups and you know, every amendments of the constitution every year, that would be up to you. But the idea is that we are building a document that would govern us for time to come. So each and every one of us really needs to understand that, so that we put an end to all these, you know, very disturbing ideas. For instance, the idea that, you know, people who would rather have federalism, these are people who want to divide up the country. Excuse me? I'll have to beg to be excused from that view, because I don't think so at all. I think South Sudan is very diverse. Its people are very rich. Its cultures are very rich. Unity State can promote tourism, bird tourism, jungle, animal tourism, Eastern Equatoria, dairy, farming and whatnot, Western Equatoria and whatnot, agricultural and vegetable production and whatnot. We are so diverse. We said we were fighting marginalization. And how did we define marginalization? That Khartoum decided everything on our behalf. Now, how do we get people to decide things for themselves? Allow. Don't just talk decentralization. Act decentralization.
Thank you very
let
much.
Let people decide for themselves.
Thank you very much. I would like to end this round of discussion with a comment from Honorable Chol Rambang, just to tell us about how you feel this constitution process making is moving forward.
Well, thank you very much, John. I would really agree that the commission has been formed. It is very inclusive, and this is why it took a very long time. Every now and then, a different group are being added into the original group who were appointed at first. And this one is what? Is the element of inclusiveness which we need. So every now and then, and maybe until now, if there are groups who have not been included, I believe there's a room for them to be included. Therefore, we will talk of that is inclusive enough. The issue is not inclusiveness which everyone wants to see himself in a mirror. All of us, we are there. If you take a mirror, you will see yourself indirectly, unless you want yourself in person to be there. But otherwise, all our sectors are there. Our question, and the biggest problem which we are now facing, is the issue of finances. And this is why now the Constitution Commission was not able to move to outreach, to go, even within Juba Town here. It has not reached us. It will reach you. It will go to you in the university and interact with you. It will go to every sector and interact with them, and you give your opinion, give what you want to see in the Constitution. And we'll go to the countryside. We'll go to every county, to every payam, to every buma. And everybody will put in his input. And on the top of that, at the end, it will come back to us at the level of our institution, which we need to respect. We have a National Assembly, the parliament, which the domain will go to at the last. And all of us, we have members there. How do you influence your MP to put the right decision? Is through telling him what you think is not included, so that he's able to raise it up in the assembly. Therefore, I really 100% sure that the commission, let me say commission, it is inclusive enough. And I support that thing enough. I want just to mention something a little here about the reconciliation, which some brother put there, Makwe. Yes, you know, when we talk of reconciliation, by the way, reconciliation is not a court to make a ruling of that you are wrong or you are right. Reconciliation has an element of win-win theory. Okay? You need, if you go in to point at somebody that you are wrong, you are not reconciling. So you must have a perception of forgiveness. And you start by yourself. If you forgive others, they will forgive you too. And now you are reconciled. And this is the simple meaning of reconciliation. By stepping down of what you think as you are being hurt of. And also, you will expect others to do the same. If that thing happened, you will reconcile. Now here with a professor, if we sit and we discuss issue, and we agree initially, even before we talk, we may have some differences. But when we talk, we will know that, no, our difference is not that much magnitude. Okay, we forget about them. We reconcile. And we move. Tomorrow, people will see us moving. Okay? Now, they will say, okay, see, now they are moving together. So we are now become other people who are, for me, they will start to reconcile with Alfred. And people who are Alfred, they start to reconcile with me. Thank so this you, is what thank, I want to say. Thank you very much.
Honorable Charles Rambang. And I will still open the floor for questions on this issue of the Constitution. Now, this side has been very quiet. I'll give them an opportunity to ask questions. Please make it brief to the point. Let's start with Nyalbol.
I just want to raise this issue that the media, it seemed to me that the media became a dumping area for anybody to talk about it. Like our sister in the Constitution, she made a remark. But the media in South Sudan doesn't have a law. We don't have any mandate. So here, I think people should not think too much that we are going to do anything. About the Constitution, I think this idea that people were selected, the mechanism itself is subject to be questioned. And then we know the characters of our government. We are now 8 years old with this government. We know the attitude. At the end of the day, they will not respect the opinion of the people of South Sudan.
Thank you. Thank you, Nyalbol. Let's pass the mic to the next person.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. My name is Marika Jelona. I think this is a very good forum. And I want to go straight to the question of constitution. As it has been said, that we have to participate. It's our process. My big question is, how do we participate as citizens if we have not seen the actual constitution itself? How do we contribute if we don't know the transitional constitution? I remember there are only few copies in this country of that constitution, and it's in the hands of the elite and some few strong people who manage to grab some copies. The question is, what is the government doing so that our people, the citizens, can know the constitution and be able to give their views?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let me take a question from the gentleman next to you, Doki, before we come in front here.
Yes, thank you very much for giving me this chance. My name is John Guy. I'm very happy that to hear that there is a constitution going on here. But the way I'm seeing the constitution, I wish if that constitution it can get washed with milk. And then they make any minister make it drink, and it work in his body like juju. Okay, maybe it will work if they do it like that. But if they write it on the paper like that, I don't think that is going to. Nobody is going to follow it.
Thank you very much. Let's take comments from my friend here and this lady here, and then we can move ahead to get some reaction to that.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for giving me that opportunity. And good afternoon, everyone and panelists. what I would like to comment on is only one question and one comment. On the constitution that that our people are in process, I don't think that the constitution will be understood by the population of Southern Sudan, simply because the literate people are very few more than illiterate. And I don't know why our people are assuming that all of people will understand that constitution. Who will be there to translate the document in order for the civilian in the village to understand this constitution is in Silisbe?
So what is your suggestion?
My suggestion, I was thinking that the major priority that we would have need to do before the constitution is to make roads. To make roads so that our people can be connected to each and everywhere. If anything happens, we can always ask one another. That's one. Another one is education. Let us educate our people in order to know their safety. That would have been a priority our government should have done, and other people who are influencing the government to make a process of constitution. That is one. For the question, to question the chairman, the honorable of Shwal, Mr. Shwal, about fees. This is where we always have a problem. If you don't tell me, Mr. Y, you are wrong, How would I know that I'm wrong? I will continue practicing this, and this is a bad practice. That we always call our leaders who are rebel against the new nation, and yet you don't tell them you are wrong. And this is why you see young people are following them. He came to you and you talk to him and he goes back and will say that I went and I'm being found innocent. So the young person will follow. We need to tell each other that you are wrong and I'm wrong.
Thank you.
And I have to accept. Thank you. And therefore, we will accept the reconciliation.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Let's take one question from here.
Okay. My name is Nadia Talis. I'm a student from Karuk University of South Sudan. And my question about the constitution is, some people, they know this is crime. They commit crime. And they go, they call their people because they say, my father is somebody, my cousin is somebody. So how about those people and how we going to implement the rules over such kind of people? Thank you.
So your question is the rule of law. I did not understand what you're saying. What? Can you?
Okay, my question is, some people, they read the constitution and they know the rules, okay? And they know this is crime and they commit crime because they know somebody, you know? They will say, don't worry, I will call somebody. I know my father is somebody, my aunt is somebody, my cousin is somebody.
All right, thank you.
Then, you know, how about those people?
Thank you. Now, let's take from this gentleman here.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stanson. I'm called Benjamin Hart from Catholic University of South Sudan. I've been raising my hand. I wanted to ask the same some questions, but I couldn't get time. Thank you for this chance. My question goes to Mr. Rababan. Sir, we have seen that in South Sudan, we have created a class. We are creating class, and we are fighting for our own survival within our country. And the government is watching that. Another issue with us is we are so ambiguous that South Sudan will be the same when some people control or twin things to themselves. I think that will not be an issue. The issue with us in South Sudan is when we stop politicizing all the move, a national thing, which is touching, like the issue of our border issue with Khartoum. We say, yeah, that one is for the unity, Northern Barazal, the upper Nile, they will sort that out. And we don't take it as a country. I think that will be, you know, we are likely to go back, not to be independent in this sense. When we talk of constitution, I know 20% or 10% of our population is educated. And it is very hard for us now to bring the views of our people into this constitution. How do we help us as the government to reach a constitution which brought all the masses or the diversity of South Sudanese to come and have an understanding to this constitution as a government? I think that will be a big task for the government.
Thank you
very
much.
The second question is, When we talk of reconciliation, I wanted to ask a question about the reconciliation. The reconciliation that we are talking about, it is not about the literate people. Let it be for the educated elite of South Sudan. Because it is this the same people who are intellectual and they know how to read. They are the one confusing our illiterate group. I think that's what I wanted
Thank
to
you.
Say.
Thank you very much. Let's just give ourselves a round of clap. Let's clap our hands and remove the tension from your body. Clap your... We're getting a little bit tense here, and I would like to throw it back to the panelists. Summarizing the questions here, there was the issue of rule of law. Some people break the law because he has somebody who will bail him out. There is a question of the constitution process not being it's not inclusive. People are saying it's not very inclusive. And some people are also raising concerns that it's not even available. They have not seen the constitution that is being reviewed. And there was a question that you first develop your country, then review the constitution. So your comments. Let me start with the Honorable Chol Ramban.
Well, thank you very much. In regard to somebody who is asking that the constitution itself is not available, which constitution which is available? If we talk of the constitution which is being reviewed, it is there, it's available. You need to take initiative to go and look for it. Sometimes it's available on the market, and you can pay for it and get it. If you don't want to pay, you go to Minister of Justice. You'll get a copy. Because now we are talking about the document which has been already prepared and printed, which exists over there. If you talk about the new one, which people are, it is this one which is being reviewed. And this one will be reviewed, I thought it is you to contribute. Because the exercise has not yet started. When the exercise will start, you will hear a rally for the constitutional review. It's you to move to it. It will not come to you at home. Will not knock at your door, say, yes, we are coming to review the constitution. You will get it, and you through the media and so on. I don't agree with those who are saying it is not inclusive. What inclusiveness do you expect? The constitution, all our sectors of community are embodied in the commission which has been formed. Otherwise, if we want everybody to be there, it will be the whole nation. But it will issue. It will come to you where you are. You will hear of when they start their campaign. They will come, they will make rallies, and everybody will be, it will be announced on the radio, in TV, and you will hear it. Somebody will tell you, and you go and listen and contribute. If you will be there, you will contribute definitely. About those who are saying the constitution, the people in the countryside are not educated, they will not be able to pull it. That's true. I agree with that idea. But don't forget, if you look the other constitution, they have a lifetime of 200 years. And when they were done, they were done not with the president of everybody. Those people who did it, they did it. And it's alive. It continued to be amended if there's a need. Okay. If there's somebody in the countryside, you will represent him. And you will give, if your union or your contribution, it will cover him or her. Therefore, all of us, we are there. This is what I would like to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. Alfred Lukuji, what are your take on these issues raised by the audience?
I think we are not proactive enough. For example, how many times have we discussed the constitution on radio so that people in the countryside can follow? Clause so-and-so is saying this, and these are the implications. I don't want to be accused of being an American lover, but in 1776, when they wrote the Confederal Constitution, they found out that they gave the states too many powers and the national government was very weak. States like Maryland and New York and Virginia kept fighting on trade. They were overtaxing each other. So in 1789, that's when they came with the present constitution, which has been amended about 33 times. And the country at that time probably did not even have as many literate people or as many PhDs as South Sudan has now. Yet they were able to produce a constitution that has lasted this long. Honorable Chol, it is not talking about simply inclusiveness in terms of people who are there. It is attitude. that the constitution you want to write is for generations to come. If you think, if you are writing about it as if your idea is to please people in power now, then you will miss the point. So it's about whoever is there is writing it for the generations to come. That's the fundamental point.
Thank you,
John,
very
much. I think I'll stop there.
Thank you very much. Let's hear some thoughts from Honorable Jehan Deng.
Thank you. I believe the Constitution is like any other document, but it's very important because it governs us. And if it governs us, we know we are going through two different tracks, state building and nation building, and both the tracks go together. And as we are accepting the fact and we are acknowledging it that we are a new republic, we need to know our roles. We really need to understand that. We shouldn't be looking into excuses of we are illiterate. If the counts, it's amazing when you see the calculations or the statistics, rather, that in the new Republic of South Sudan, we have over 500 or plus PhD holders. Why are they holding the PhD instead of sharing that information and going out? And the attitude that we are known as pride people, you know, we're very proud of who we are, and we are very proud of it goes all the way to our grassroots. If I have many kettles, then I'm a proud person. If I have certificates, then I am a proud person. And so what do? We need to really streamline and break down this the issue of proudness and learn. And education, actually, it's a process. There's no beginning or end to education. So there is no need for us, as some of us were saying, we must do this first before that one. Because today, as much as we don't have proper infrastructure, whether in telecommunication or roads, people are moving. You will go to the remote areas of the boomers of the Republic of South Sudan, and you can have a cell phone using this VSAT. And there is VSAT also that can give you an exposure to the world. You can watch CNN in that. So actually, we are in a place that is very challenging, and it's important for us to understand what do we have at hand and how do we make use of it, instead of complaining and looking into what we don't have and striving to get it. And in striving to get what we don't have, then the conflict comes in. We have so much going on for us. We have so much, not only just the new republic that is very rich in resources, rich with people. People who are able to make things out. I know that children, we have children that are very, very much intelligent. They can recite. They don't have what other children in the world have, but they can recite poems. We have communities that can develop and do different things. When it talks about road, you know what? I know now in the advanced world, places like Ethiopia, the communities, the districts, they will join hands together and they do the feeder roads. When I built, and it's very unfortunate here, that I will come and get a piece of land and I'll build it, and it doesn't matter the road in front of my house, how does it look? What effort will it take when you are building your house to just pave the front of your house? The next one will do, and eventually we'll have a proper road. It doesn't take a lot of bulldozers and big machines to do that. It's very simple. It is your stone, my stone, put properly, and it is a road. And until we're able to come over through with these economic austerity measures and all the other difficulties that we have, it's identifying the fact that we are building. The building is not a one person. Can you think over this? The pyramids were built when there was no machine. What does it take for us? We have so much. Can we, as a population, look at our hands and see what do we have and start working with that?
Thank you. Then move forward.
Thank you,
Honorable Jehan. Thank you very much. And let's move a little bit further to the issue of governance and equity. I have lived all my life in South Sudan. I mean, although I'm not present here, but I interact with South Sudanese more than other nationalities because these are my people, and I like to know what is happening. And there's this common word that you hear from South Sudanese, Zolbitana. Our person is there. Our son is there. We don't refer to our leaders as our leaders. We refer to them as from our communities. Now, the issue of governance. Yes, we celebrate the appointments. That's what he's saying. When somebody is appointed, they slaughter the poor goat and celebrate the appointment. The communities come and dance, and life moves on. But there's this issue of governance and equity. How do we see that in this new nation of South Sudan? This is a question that I am not able to answer. Maybe our panelists can answer it. How do you see the issue of governance and equity in South Sudan? Is everybody happy with the way things are going? I think I will throw it to Dr. Alfred Lukuji, smiling, looking at me. Can you tell us what you think about the issues of governance and equity?
I'm smiling because I know that in attempting to answer this question, we will not really give an answer that satisfies everybody. We'll end up annoying as many people as possible. Part of my background is public administration. If you start a restaurant, and let's say you want someone who makes very good tea, first you describe what needs to be done to make a good cup of tea. And then you look out for the person who can make a good cup of tea. You don't go and bring your grandmother, who is going to add in some herbs, you know, to chase away their spirits and things like that. People want tea. This is the same thing for government positions. I don't think I need to really say this. You know very well. Here I am, by the way. I'm capable of a lot of things. And yet I'm already seeing my grave. I'm not going to regret that I did not get there, because I've done what I can in my capacity. But we do not have a merit system. We have, since the 1970s, a ministry called Ministry of Public Service and Administrative Reform. And part of the job of these kinds of public institutions is to say, okay, we have this job, this is what needs to be done. John Tanza is an applicant. Let us see whether he has the necessary training, whether he has the necessary experience, and we match the job description, with the person specification. And we can trust that person to do our job. But when I bring my daughter and my uncle and my grandson and my brother-in-law, who ends up stealing money, that is public money, what can I say, John? We are in a mess. And until we stop saying, that's my brother, let him say, it's also our chance to eat. By the way, that guy eating there is actually doesn't bring you anything. You'd be lucky if you get a loaf of bread from that guy.
All right. Thank you very much. Honorable Chol Rambang, kindly tell us your experience in terms of issues of governance and equity.
Well, you know, I would define governance is accountability and transparency. If every person working with the government is accountable, and then we will talk of good governance. But if there is no accountability, then there will be a problem. And our problem now is the issue of accountability. And which we need to address, which may be lacking somewhere and is available somewhere. Therefore, I really recommend that this element, this country, the system we have, whether the system we inherited from the former part of Sudan, the system originally has been very accountable. Sudan, as all, including South Sudan, somebody talked before of the 1972 agreement, which created regional government in this town. There was the what we left, only we didn't make use of it. If we made use of it and we pick it from there, though it has been thrown away, some of the issues which we are now facing, we will not face them. And my definition to the governance, like what we are in now, yes, one would say, we lack a very serious accountability. This is why now we have some problems. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Jehan Deng, you want to conclude on that issue?
I'd like to say a remark that I hope we can understand the terms that we are using. And when we are governments or we are public figures, there is a misconception that when I'm a public figure, I am to be served, which is the other way around. As public figures, public servant, and government leaders, it is important for us to also understand that we are responsible to serve our population. And if they see that leadership in serving our population, it comes back that the population will be able to understand the importance of equity, distribution, and sharing, and the issue of rule of law. Because before we have these governments, we have our communities, and we have our groups, the communities, I should say, that coexist together. And there's always a rule of law. There's always structures that are in place. And you remember that one of you mentioned earlier, it starts from the smaller circle and it grows up to the higher. If we work in the attitude of respect, in an attitude of respecting one another, respecting the law, and also identifying what is my role and what is your role, and working towards that one, it is going to be possible. As we are building our nation, the building process is not an easy one, and especially when we are doing it from a conflict start, where we were going through several years of conflict. Now we are trying to build it, and there is so much. We need to go through rehabilitation, trauma healing, and we need to be able to sit with one another and talk and understand this one, because it's only when we have that common understanding we'll be able to understand the laws and the regulations and responsibilities. The government has a responsibilities that breaks down into government rules and regulations. The population also, and I really need to engage the population. The citizen, you and I, we have a big role. And as we mentioned that we have a significant opportunity to establish our constitution around the globe. Nobody, no nation has the opportunity that we have to write our laws and regulations. And each one of us has an opportunity to participate. Are you going to miss that opportunity and say, he is in charge, he didn't do me right? What about you? What is your role to make this difference and to contribute? So my calling is that we together, it's a state nation, it's a nation building, and it's a state building, and each one of us has a role. It's only when we identify that one can we be able to implement the rules of governance and equity and so on.
Thank you very much. And each one of us in this room has a role to ask a question or make a comment regarding the issues that we are discussing here. And I want to be gender sensitive. I want to hear more voices from our sisters in this room. Otherwise, I will be accused of being a male-dominated moderator. I want to hear from our sisters first, and then I will come to the brothers. There's a lady at the corner there. I mean, we will end on time. We are ending at 5. So the more brief you are, the better for us.
Thank you very much. But when my spirit is ranting, I'm not very sure I'll talk less, but I'll try. My name is Koiti Emily. I'm a medical student at the University of Juba. But I also volunteer with an NGO, a local CSO in Juba. That's South Sudan Democratic Engagement Monitoring and Evaluation Program. Constitution. I agree that the development and understanding of our constitution can be a source of unity, but it can also be a source of conflict. Now, who uses and who refers to the constitution more often than any other citizen on the land? It is our parliamentarians. The last VOA public discussion, I made the case here. And I'm still making it today because my spirit is ranting. A good number of our parliamentarians watch them on some of the clips that have come out. You will be left with so much to desire. I have, as a citizen, found them inefficient, ineffective, and insufficient, lacking in so many things. They will surely look on as trouble goes on in this country, yet they hold the popular vote, they are the legislature, and they are supposed to say, to call whosoever is in charge of security, saying, "Jonglei, why are people dying?" They should be able to replicate somehow the spirit they use to dine with each other, irrespective of wherever they come from this country, and tell the people whom they represent that we sit and dine together. How about you? Can't you sit together? They walk in corridors and shake hands. And yet they can't go back to the people and tell them you can't fight, because while we represent you there, we don't fight. I know there are legislators among us here, and I'm making a case. If you cannot represent us today, I'll rise up with my fellow students at some point and would love to see people who can represent us, people who can make a case for us, people who know how we feel. I think they don't know how we feel. They don't know what it should feel like to represent a person like me if I have to lose my uncle because somebody, some people went and ganged and robbed him and had to kill him and four other people. It pains my heart.
I think in the interest of time, yeah. I'm not against the students, but in the interest of time, I need to give another opportunity for somebody. Thank you very much.
So I think I've just made a case, and whosoever is here and
thank
represents people
thank,
in a parliament
thank
should
you very much. I want
listen
to, see,
to me.
I want to see a hand from our sisters. I mean, I want to hear voices from our sisters. Okay. Maybe let's yeah, this gentleman here.
Yeah.
Make it brief, please. We want to leave this place at 5.
Thanks, one against. Because we are coming to conclusion of this, so every one of some Sudanese citizens have to pick out what he or she has in his heart. So, actually, today is very extraordinary meeting that I have attended. You know, what I have seen so far in the South Sudan is lack of patriotics, self-denial, even based on merit, accountability, and transparency. Because, you know, most when you go to public institutions, you find people are speaking in a local dialect. That is not acceptable. So to have a patriotics to prepare our country, we should have to use English and Arabic as medium of instructions so that we cannot discriminate other people. So another thing is a media sensitive. Media sensitive by a rich individual in the government, like what happened, the slain political columnist, Isaac Avram. So he was killed in a cool blood by security forces, and the government didn't carry out the investigations. What is that? It is very shame to our government. So for this case, we need to be open to our government to correct its way of governing this society, this youth society of South Sudan. Because if we keep continue hiding the secret development of our nations, we will not go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Sure, thank you.
Let's move on. Thank you. I want to give an opportunity to somebody here. Nyal, you spoke before. Okay, you can ask your question. I don't want to deny you that opportunity.
It is not a question. I think the issue of governance is not possible with the current government. Let us just be honest. Because here, it is always good if there is a leader who listens. But these are people who come with fixed ideas with assumption that they have liberated us. But if you can liberate somebody and there is no protection, I think I have a little hope to say that there is a governance. Because even within Juba here, communities which are not part of Juba are distributing lands of other tribes. What will happen in the next 20 years if we elect them back? We will be in anarchy.
Thank you, Nyalbol. Thank you very much. Let's move to this corner here. I just want us to be fair to others. If you had asked a question before, please let somebody who has not asked a question ask.
Thanks you for giving me this chance. My name is Mark Kurmading from Kasilig University. I will put across a comment on equity. There is a saying that he who comes to equity must come with clean hands. And he who seeks equity must do equity. And as equity is going with the government, our politicians or our representative in the government are doing equity or their hand is clean.
Thank you very much. I will take last question from our sister here, and then we really need to conclude this because time is not my friend. We have 10 minutes to 5. Okay. Your comments?
Thank you very much for the opportunity given. I'm Akwero Lili from Catholic University of South Sudan. Well, in the first place, I know we are not young as we used to say. This is just a comment I want to put across. We should stop saying this issue that we are young, we are young. For how long shall we remain young? This one should be out of point. Because now somebody may do something that we are still young. How long shall we keep on staying young like this? We should think of even being older. In fact, because we have people who are educated, and South Sudanese are all over. They have a lot of ideas. The only thing we can do is just to sit down and talk, change our people right from the grassroots, other than only seeing us at the government level. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There's a hand at the back of the building. I hope you're going to be brief because time is not on our side.
Thank you. I'll be brief, but you're talking about human rights and you're not just. Thanks. Once more, I'm Fred. Chol Makwe. I want to comment on governance and equity. You know, when we're talking about governance and equity, in South Sudan, we even don't know the type of governance we are having. Is it presidential? Is it parliamentary? We don't know exactly. You get here, someone says, no, I think we are presidential, where we need, it is centralized, decentralized system. Someone sees, the other person is not giving me the right. He says, no, we have to go for centralization, for something of decentralization. We first need to understand what type of system are we handling in South Sudan for us to at least handle good governance. The other thing is about equity. You know, for someone to deliver equitable service, he must at least have the idea. But you get in our government a wrong person in the right place. You are a medical person, they take you for agriculture. I don't know how you will work, my dear. How will you give delivery? So it is really difficult unless we first understand. What do we understand about equitable giving service delivery? What system is in South Sudan? Exactly.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I would like to throw it back to our panelists to just make, answer some of these questions and then make a concluding remark because we want to close at 5. I will start with you, Honorable Chol Rambang. There were a lot of issues raised here regarding governance, equity. There are issues regarding manpower. How do you agree with the members of the audience?
Well, thank you very much once again. Yeah, once again. You know, when we talk of equity or governance, it seems that everybody will have, especially in the third world, everybody will have his own definition. Because sometimes people do not accept the reality of situation. Therefore, a country which came, or a government that came to office through election, and again, before the end of the term, will be start to talk of lack of this and lack of that. There is no equity. Because if we say that at this time, if I was in the place of any of you, I would prefer to keep quiet, watch, wait, because another election is coming. When another election comes, you elect somebody whom you think will be more, will do more equity than the current. Okay. And for your information, you young people, or you those who are spearheading the thing that there is no equity, I believe even if it's a matter of putting somebody else into place of somebody, even if you are put tomorrow in the place of somebody who is there, you will end up also being criticized in the same way you are now saying what you are saying. And tomorrow you are graduating, and you will come to system, and you will do the same. Okay? Because I know that all of us, we have behaved, and we have thought in the same way. Maybe back earlier, when we were of your age, we were saying the same. Though our chief editor of Citizen has a very fixed idea about the system. So now we don't know what to say. You cannot change mind of somebody because this is how we think, or this is how we concluded. So that is his choice. I have no any explanation for him. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chol Rambang. Professor Alfred Lokuji, just a closing remark and your reaction to the comments from the audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, justice, rule of law, preservation of a sense of civility among ourselves. Going back to the days when our communities did not fight among each other. Do you know one of the big changes that has taken place, and we haven't talked about it? We have now tried to use our modern constitutional statutory government to replace everything all over the country. We have disabled the chiefs since the time of the war. Young captains, young commissioners have taken over and they became the law unto themselves. Our chiefs were complaining. I've traveled quite a bit during the war. Everywhere they are complaining that we have been disempowered. I come from a village. It's called Morsak. It's only 42 miles south of here. The government that you see in these big shiny cars with DSTV offices and posh furniture has not reached there. The only government that's in evidence there are the chiefs. And so, in spite of attitudes that, oh, you know, the traditional system is unfair to a lot of people, let us give the traditional system in the rural areas a chance to operate until we can replace them, and that will be some years later. Let's not do away with them now because they are the ones who preserve peace in the rural areas. But the moment you think the soldier knows it all and the man based in Juba knows it all, you are in deep... What do you say in America?
I don't know what you're alluding to. But Honorable Jehandeng, your concluding remarks and responses from the audience.
Okay, I think as the man think, so is he. That is my remarks. As the man think, so is he. If you are thinking you are weak and poor, you will be. No other power will come from nowhere that will make you think otherwise. So it all starts here. Now, if we think that we are new, we have no capacity, we can't do it, then you know what? We join the world institution like the UN. And because we said we are new and weak, they came with their capacity. And the NGOs that are indeed around us here, it's because it is what we said that they are responding to. It is what we think we are. That's what the whole world is responding to. So now about this issue of us being a new nation or a newborn nation, the fact of the matter is that in the map, we were just marked. And if you Google South Sudan, you barely find some of the maps. We are yet to make sure that all the maps are recognizing us. All the airports are recognizing. You know, there's a lot of work that must be done by all of us, by our government, by our citizen, to make sure that we become permanent members of the globe. There is a lot to do. Now, the issues that we are looking into, the governance, the structures, the institutions, they're being built and they are in place. We have another problem, it was mentioned, that everybody knows everything. So then, and everybody can sit in the chair and everybody can lead. There is no way, even my fingers are not equal. There is no way you can move and march towards the front line with the assumption that you are all equal in decision making, you are all equal in delivery, and then guess what? When it comes to basic services, I can't do it. How can I clean up? How can I pick up? There's a statement that was told to me in the hospital, by the way, the student in medical college. A doctor was administering her practicing,
and attending to a patient. And what happened is that using of the glove, you know, you use the gloves, you throw them around, you use this. And at that time, that particular hospital was undergoing a strike where the common workers were complaining for one reason or the other. And me here as a doctor, I was making their job even more difficult. Now, for each one of us, if we know that I can do this job that is described for me and do the extra, and not necessarily for me to sit in the leading position, for me to know that I can actually do the common work. Our country now is, for those le dual algeran, whereby the neighboring countries, they are looking at us differently. Everybody's coming to get jobs, whether it is cleaning, lifting trash, serving, all these common services that will bring the issue of equity into place. And for us here, no. Unless I work where I can sign papers, or unless I wear a suit, then I will not be an employee. So, you know, the issue comes back to where, what we think we are, who we are, and where we're going, and how do we actually put this institution, and how do we fulfill them? How do we identify? I want to make a final remark. I resist that notion that Jongle is being identified to conflict. Yes, I'm coming from there. But then the moment you attach a definition to any situation, it becomes actually permanent. If you are going to say Jongle means conflict at all times, there is conflict. And somebody mentioned earlier, this gunshotting and conflicts, they are all over the world if you are looking into the news. But if you are singling and saying, we don't want Jongle in Eastern Equatoria, we don't want Jongle, I don't think that is the right remarks. And we shouldn't be singling tribes or region to events and circumstances that are happening. So we need to really look into how we are addressing issues, how we're looking into it, and how do we respect one another. And the issue of respect comes to the fact that if I'm holding a position, yes, I am as a female minister, right? But then at the same time, the seat, the responsibilities that I have goes beyond how I look or my gender. So you need to respect that seat and you need to be able to follow it. And at the same time applies to me. I need to respect the seat that I'm sitting in and the way I'm reflecting and working among our population. The issue of respect, the issue of accountability, the issue of identity, the issue of knowing who we are, where we're going. If we take matters into control and own the process, will be able to make a difference and actually join the globe.
Thank you very much, Honorable Johan Deng. And with those remarks, we have come to the end of our public discussion. Let's give ourselves a big hand clap. I would like to thank students from Catholic University, Juba University, members of the NGO, members of the diplomatic community, civil society organizations who are present in this room. Thank you very much for being part of this discussion. And please, don't go away. There are snacks, tea, and soda outside there meant for you. Please don't go without taking those things. And if you can allow, if you can help this hotel by picking these papers that are left here, it's meant for you. You don't leave it on the table. Go with one and go take it home. Thank you very much.